Welcome to the Real Family Guys podcast with Paul McGuire and Trey Gibson, the show where education and experience collide to help you go deeper in your parenting. Simultaneously broadcasting from Alabama and Texas, here are your hosts, Paul and Trey.
Well, hello and welcome to the Real Family Guys podcast. This is the show where experience and education collide to take you deeper in your parenting. The date today is October the 12th. 2012. I'm here with my fantastic friend Paul. Paul, how are you today?
Hi, Trey. I'm doing well. How about you? How was your weekend?
You know, it was a good weekend. It really was. We kicked back a little bit this weekend. I still had to help my mother-in-law move out, and which, you know, this is kind of the second weekend in a row we've done that, and I know a lot of people are like, bleh. But it is a good thing, and I think we mentioned on the last Real Family Guys podcast, but my mother-in-law is moving out because she's downsizing everything. She's cutting her rent in half. She's going to hack away at her credit card bills, and she's just really simplifying her lifestyle because she just has seen what we've done and how we've taken $33,000 and how it's possible within a short amount of time, and she's just decided that's what she's going to do. And so she went from living in almost a 2,000 square foot house to just a little small mobile home, Paul, and she's made just that major cutback because she is ready and serious about getting creditors off her back and getting out of debt. And living a life where one of her things is she really wants to start blessing people more and being able to you know, give and be more giving. And so she's made major cutbacks. So the way I see it is, if this is what she's doing it for, I'll help her as many weekends in a row as it takes to get her out of a, you know, out of a more expensive situation.
Oh, absolutely. That sounds that's something that we all could take a look at. You know, we talked a couple weeks ago about having so much and the complexities and the maintenance, and when things break down, you feel the need to replace them and things like that. I mean, there's just it's just so much overhead that's added to having things, and that's neat that your mother-in-law's had a realization on that, and what that amount of overhead there could be doing to help others. So
absolutely,
that's pretty cool. But you know, helping somebody move, you know, it's that is what it is, right?
Well, Paul, how was your weekend?
It was all right here in Alabama. It wasn't too, the weather cooled off here quite a bit. They talk about this cold snap that hit the country over this past weekend. And, you know, I think actually in the Midwest they had some snow, early season snow here last week. But it got here, actually even here today right now, it's still only 54 degrees here. That is 5-4 in early October, in a place where we normally have, you know, 90 degrees and 90% humidity. It seems like all the way up Christmas, but the weather here has really cooled off some, and the leaves in my yard are starting to show it too. They are falling quickly and without any signs of letting up. So fall is starting to hit here. But you asked about my weekend. It started out, I thought it was going to be okay, and I'm just going to paraphrase this to, you know, something I had to tell my son at a point on Friday night was, you know, I can't always wear the cool dad t-shirt all the time, you know.
Yeah.
And what happened was that, you know, I did something that he didn't agree with so much, and, you know, really couldn't see eye to eye with me, and, you know, got really upset with me, and, you know, talked about how, you know, I'm just not sure I want to talk to you. I don't want to talk to you tonight or tomorrow or, you know, this week. And,
yeah,
you know, what it came back to was, I think, is that he wanted to have, you know, he thought he had input into something he really didn't have input into.
Yeah.
And, got upset with me. I think we recovered from some of that a little bit. But, you know, hearing some of what his challenges were, you know, he talked about having a place for, you know, where he could have his friends over and have some, have a place where they can, you know, hang out and do some things and whatnot. And that was, you know, without it getting into too much of it, that was kind of the nuts and bolts of what started what happened on Friday night. So we talked about, you know, my wife and I over the weekend, like, okay, my oldest, you know, he moved out a couple of years ago to go off to college, and where he was at, we had a little, you know, finished room down in our basement that, you know, wasn't being used anymore. So we tried to figure out a way to convert that and, you know, give my son something to, a place where he could go hang out and be with his friends and, you know, not be right in the middle of things. Because when you're a teenager, you know, especially an older teenager, you just don't want to do that so much, you know, hang out with your parents. And, you know, as as gut wrenching as that is to me, Trey, knowing that I got to let go of a second one here real soon, it's reality. So, yeah. You know, we tried to do something to accommodate him. And you know, by the time last evening, ended. I think I was able to put the Cool Dad t-shirt back on again. But Friday night, I definitely got it taken away from me for a little while. But, you know, that's okay. You know, it's the highs and lows of parenting yeah. as it is. But as far as, you know, it's just things we got to deal with. You know, now my daughter, she didn't see it. You know, she thought, hey, you know, you can still wear the Cool Dad t-shirt. It was fine. So she and I had a pretty good weekend. My oldest one, or my middle one, you know, had a little rocky road the weekend. But, you know, we all made it through, and everybody seems to be fine here on Monday morning. So we'll take it at that, and, you know, we'll move forward.
So after action review, if you don't mind me asking, just tell me if this is if it's too personal.
Yeah.
What would you repeat? What did you like about what you did? You said, man, that's something I'm going to copy and paste for the next time this goes around. What was that?
I think being able to, you know, I think the big thing is being able to tell him, say, you know, look, I hear what you're telling me, but I'm the parent here. You know, and there is a certain set of boundaries and things that you just don't understand that we're going to have to we're going to have to adhere to and observe. You know, it was good as I was able to stick to that. And, you know, as much as it hurt his feelings, you know, I think once he heard it phrased that way, you know, he left it alone.
So what about the one thing that the next time this kind of thing comes around, or is there something that you're saying, I would work on this and I would improve that in this next go around? What would that be, if there is one?
Well, just I think what led up to it and what I think what kind of turned it off, it was just that maybe I was a little too much in his business, you mm-hmm. know?
I do that too. Yeah, absolutely.
And kept, you know, digging and digging and digging and you know, not, you know, just not paying too much, not giving enough attention and credit to his individuality and his age and things like that. So it's just part of what I was talking about earlier. It's gut-wrenching to see them grow up and know that they're, you know, that they're headed out at some point. And those of you that are listening that have older kids, you know that it's tough. And you think you're preparing yourself for it, and it just it's never easy when it gets there. So I think it's just that struggle of just realizing that, you know, as each day passes, you know, I've got more of a third adult in our house on my hands than a second kid in the house. You know, they'll always be my child, and always be, you know. And I was part of what I told him Friday night was, you know, you're always going to be my child, and parenting never leaves. It's the nature of it just changes. But, you know, there's also the reality that, you know, once he gets out here in a couple of years and gets out on his own, I think a phrase I used with him was, you know, right now you have to listen to me. You know, in a couple of years you can choose whether you want to listen to me or not, and do what you want with, you know, the advice or whatever it is I tell you. But as long as you're under my roof and, you know, we got things going on here, you have to listen to me. And that's the way the parent-child relationship works, even when you're 17.
You know, that's one of the hardest things, too. You know, it's hard on these shows, I think, in a lot of cases, because this is a public venue show. And, you know, I don't talk a whole lot about who I call my oldest daughter. We kind of pseudo-adopted a 13-year-old. And so I call her adopted by heart daughter. And there was no formal adoption process. I mean, I really took over a lot of the dad raising stuff with them from starting about 13 until now. And I'm always hesitant to want to share things about her because I know she, you know, we're active on Facebook. We post the stuff on Facebook. And I know that she also listens to the show every so often. I know it's real rare, but every so often she'll listen to a show. And so I'm always a little hesitant, but I connect with you on that too, because, you know, I don't consider myself the experienced person that you are, Paul, when it comes to raising older kids at all, but because this is such a special, almost weird case scenario. But, you know, I've felt a lot of that too, as she's kind of moved out and I've watched some of the changes. You know, I really have to catch myself not, you know, avoiding becoming disappointed with her. And I'm not suggesting that's what was happening with your son over the weekend or anything like that at all. But for me, I've noticed that because I'll see her making choices that I think, well, this is not what I want her to do. And I caught myself with that this weekend, and that I was falling into some of that instead of learning to celebrate who she is and what she is and the fact that she's gotten to where she is with so many difficult things and being proud of her for that success. And again, I'm not relating this to what you were talking about earlier, but I connect with you at least on some level with that because I've bumped into that this weekend, and it's been hard because, you know, I've got this idea of what I want this particular daughter of mine to be, and she's becoming something very different. Yeah, not completely different, but very different, and I'm struggling. You know, I'm struggling with it.
Yeah, I know what you talk about there, Trey. That's actually a pretty decent segue, I think, into our topic today.
Ooh,
and
good call.
You know, as you know, as we go into this one here, folks, just set a little bit of a disclaimer here up front. And remind you guys of the perspective that Trey and I are coming from. And Trey, you catch whatever I miss here.
You got it.
Both Trey and I are Bible believing Christians. This is a topic here that can be a hot one, and Trey and I hope to, you know, to handle this with the grace and the wisdom that God would have us to treat this with, and to do right by you guys here listening to the show. In short here, Trey, we talked about a few minutes ago, I found an article that was up on one of these directory sites. For these news directory things. And this was under a parenting directory. And the way the article is written, the title of it says, October 30th, 2012, is Homosexual Mix It Up Day. Is your child's school on the list? And I guess to set a little background here, there's an organization, the Southern Poverty Law Center, that was created. I think I read Trey back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. They were created to fight hatred and bigotry and to bring about tolerance, not just within the schools, but in American society as a whole. And they are sponsoring an event. It's called the Mix It Up Day, and that is held this year. The next one coming up is on October 30th. And according to their website, there's over 2,400 schools across the country that are going to be involved in this. And reading from what I can read, the description of the article says that this is the idea behind the program is that at lunchtime, when you go into a school, that's where you see the most divide between the races, sometimes between the genders, sometimes between the haves and the have-nots, the jocks and the nerds and the geeks and the band people and things like that. You know, you just see people associate themselves with those that are most like themselves. And what they're calling for is for schools to encourage some of this cross boundary, and just have a lunch with somebody that's not quite like you, you know. And on the surface, you know, that sounds good. It's something we all should be doing, I think, is, you know, getting to know others that are not quite like us, so
right.
That we can, you know, that we can truly start moving toward, you know, tolerance and understanding of others and of those around us. But the site that I found this on maybe seems to be taking it. Trey and I talked a few minutes here, maybe seems to be taking it a little bit over the top here. And they're taking this notion of, you know, what they're calling a mix it up day and trying to say that this is part of an agenda to further, they said homosexual, but it's the whole LGBT movement. And I think it stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered. Mm-hmm. Is that right, Trey?
That's correct. You got it.
So, you know, we thought we would talk about this a little bit here because it's something that, I don't know, it's something that a lot of shows, you know, either they jump on and they fall way on one side of the fence and make people, they kind of stir up the hate amongst each other, amongst the other sides, by which side they take. Or they avoid it altogether. And I don't think Trey and I want to do the, we certainly don't want to come across as creating any kind of hate here. And I hope that doesn't happen at all. But what we're trying to look at is how you can take an event like this and look at it in the lens of what, you know, what it could really be the good that comes out of it. And, you know, at the same time, honor God and what we're doing and what we believe in the Bible and so forth. So does that sound about what we talked about, Trey? And is there anything else that I missed in the setup there?
No, you nailed it on the head. And I know that several listeners at Family Podcast Network who also subsequently listen to the Real Family Guys podcast, I know are gay and lesbian. And so, you know, this I mean, when Paul first suggested this to me, my first thought was, ooh, no. Because he asked me, he said, is this too politically charged? And my initial reaction was yeah, no, it is. And honestly, it was just fear-based. It was just a fear-based response because, you know, Paul and I are huge about making sure that we understand that we have respect for every single person. Doesn't matter what you believe. And so my first thought was to jump away with this. And then I thought, well, dadgummit. If my kids are watching me to learn everything I am going to do, and I shy away from talking about these topics, what am I really teaching them? To do the exact same thing, and I don't want that for my kids. My kids are going to run into folks that believe 100% or maybe 95% or even 50 or even just 10 can be a big difference, 10% difference, and they've got to learn how do we treat people when they don't agree with us, when they don't believe, you know, in what we believe in. And this is so vital. And so reiterating what Paul said, he nailed it right on the head. We want to make sure that we understand, that people understand we're Bible-believing Christians. And by the fullest extent, and I'll speak for myself, Paul, and I'll allow you to attribute to this if you, just in case you do, you know, diverge from this. But I do 100% believe that homosexuality is not the right way we were supposed to live. And I'm saying that before anybody gets offended and shuts us off. Just hear me out. I am also very strong in my belief that everybody in this country is allowed and entitled to believe the way they want to believe. A lot of times what happens is like we think about like politically right now, it's a great time to talk about this. Politically, what do we have? You got either people supporting Ron, you know, I mean, not Ron Paul, sorry, but people supporting Mitt Romney or Barack Obama, right? And so what's happening is that people are polarizing to each one of these sides, right? Well, you know, if you're voting for the Republican, you're saying that you hate all gays. It's kind of one of those things that I hear. Or if you vote for Barack, then you hate those Christian hypocrites, right? And so they kind of diversify out on these two different poles. And then what happens is these two different sets of groups of people wind up hating each other because each one of them sees it as kind of the other person's way to kind of grab up their belief systems and not allow them to believe what they want to believe. And in a lot of cases, I think there's truth to that. I mean, y'all know my belief systems now off of hearing what I've said, but I think people's concern is Mitt Romney's going to come in and he's going to say, well, people that are gay can't get married. I think they're right. And I also think that that is wrong. Even though that's not my belief system, I don't believe that's correct. I do believe that we live in a country that says it is okay to believe in life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And that life means that entitlement to choose my life. And so we're going to hit on this today, and we're going to talk a little bit about this topic. What do we teach our kids about this? What is right? What is wrong? Can you teach a kid to accept somebody who completely disagrees with you without it becoming an issue that you're saying you agree with them? That's kind of what we're going to cover today. It's touchy, but I think it's vital. And I want to make sure that I'm very clear on this. We're saying this to all Christian families that are going to come interacting with somebody, you know, a person who's in the gay community. We're also saying this to folks that are in the gay community that are going to come in contact with Christians who don't believe like you. It works both ways. It works both ways. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the confusion that we've kind of bumped into with some words. We've mistranslated some words fundamentally in how we translate things. Today, I'm going to take the perspective of how have Christians messed this up. I don't think it's all a one-sided thing, but I am responsible for my side of this belief system. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today.
Trey, that's a great setup, and I think you're right. I think we're going to hit on a couple of words here in a few minutes that Trey had done a little bit of looking up. One first one is going to be tolerance, and then the question that Trey and I talked about in our setup coming here was how have people turned the word tolerance into condoning, or vice versa? You know, how do you condone or not condone or be tolerant about a behavior without necessarily condoning it? And that's something that, it's tough for some people because You know, the Bible says, you know, that all God's creatures, especially all people, you know, we're all created in God's image here. And I do agree with Trey. I'm in the same boat that he is. I do think that homosexuality is wrong. But that doesn't mean that all activities around homosexuality should be filled with, you know, with hate or disdain or discrimination. It's just, you know, it's just a belief that I have. No different than a couple of weeks ago, I posted on, you know, why I didn't like the movie The Hunger Games, and I'm not going to watch the following ones. That's a belief. But I put in that same article too that the author had every right to write the book that they wrote, and then the folks that made the movie had every right to make that movie the way that they wanted to. Yeah. It was just an opinion that I had and why it's not for me. And when I talk with my kids about why, you know, I'm not going to let them watch it at this age, it's an opinion. It's my own belief, and you know, part of what we're you know, given the rights that our founding fathers gave us was life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And if that pursuit of happiness on my part lets me to believe the way that I want to believe, then that should be fine, and we all should be allowed to do that. Yeah. But you know, this Southern Poverty Law Center, the way the top of their site that shows this Mix It Up Day, it's a big tagline on the top line that says teaching tolerance. Trey, why don't you go into what the definition you had for tolerance earlier, and then let's see where some of the confusion starts to set in there.
So the word tolerance here, especially, and I think both sides get really vehement about this, but honestly, I think the Christian side of it gets the more nasty about this word, because what most people translate tolerance is that it's like condoning. It's saying that it's okay. Listen to the definition of tolerance here. The ability or willingness to tolerate something. And listen here, this is so crucial. In particular, the existence of opinions or behavior that one does not necessarily agree with. That is the word tolerance. And I think Christians have gotten such a bad flavor in their mouth when they say we need to tolerate these things, because I think in their mindset, they've turned anybody who does not believe like them, and not all of them have done this, and I might even say that maybe not even the majority of them do this, but so many have turned it into that if we're tolerant of other opinions, the existence of other opinions or behaviors, that we're saying that these things are okay. By definition, tolerance just says this: I acknowledge that you don't agree with me in the way that I believe, but I think that we can live at peace with each other regardless.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Trey. And that's been my experience too, is that you tend to take this word tolerance, and when you use it around Christians, they honestly get upset, and they think that you are allowing a behavior to take place, and that it's going against, well, if you believe in the Bible here and you tolerate that, then you're obviously not a true believer. Yeah. That's not what the Bible says. Right. You know, the Great Commission that Jesus left us with was that we're to go and to make disciples of all the nations, right? And that doesn't mean that you're to stamp out everything that goes against what you believe and what, you know, God teaches you in the Bible here. It just means that we are the examples. We are, you know, we are the light that shows, you know, that example ourselves. But, yeah, you know, none of us are perfect though, Trey, right? So even though we're talking about the LGBT lifestyle here, there's other things that you can put tolerance for or put, you know, tolerance of whatever, you know, put that after the fact there, or fill in the blank there, and you're going to step on a lot of toes. You know, this isn't just an argument about LGBT itself. Using the word tolerance, if you're going to use it in the way that it's, you know, in the way that it's defined there, that you have to be tolerant of anything that, you know, really does go against your beliefs and whatnot. It's not saying that you let every sin pass and that you let every transgression of the law or anything else pass there, but as far as just a belief, a value, a social norm, something like that, you know, we're all different, you know, and that's part of what, you know, makes this country and this world great and unique is that we are different and we do bring different perspectives and different values to the table to, you know, to create this, you know, to create this mixing pot of humanity that it is, you know, today. If we were all alike, I've heard people say before that even in a marriage, you know, both of you are exactly the same. One of you is unnecessary, you know, and that would be, it would be a pretty, you know, pretty boring world if you couldn't get down that, you know, and be tolerant down that road and be more tolerant of others. But I just, it does make me cringe when I hear people talk about that. They use the word tolerant out of one side of their mouth, but then you start hearing that hatred and the bigotry language come out in the sentence that follows immediately thereafter. And it's so disheartening, you know, from the Christian side to see, you know, folks doing that, because that's not what we were called to do. Jesus himself, you know, if you think about the folks and if you read the Bible, especially in some of the parables and whatnot, the people that he reached out to were, you know, they weren't the cream of the crop of society. Yep. You know, he went to those who were sick, who were lame, who were not, you know, who you know, tax collectors, the folks that everybody hated, you know, and ministered to them. And in doing so, you know, he brought his incredible message of, you know, hope and salvation to the world. So, you know, we're really called to do the same thing. And quite often that tolerance that we're supposed to do and the love we're supposed to show to others, you know, it turns itself into, you know, hatred and outright shunning of those lifestyles that just don't agree with ours.
No, I think you're spot on. And I think it's so vital to remember who is watching us to learn everything they're going to do in life. And that's our kids, man. And if we adopt this level of mentality towards anybody with anything, they will pick that up. And I'll tell you, you know, truthfully, in my office, Paul, some of the things that I've seen is that when these mentalities will get taught, eventually the kid will realize that they don't have the same belief systems as their parent. And what they have been taught up until that point is when somebody disagrees with you in what you believe, you hate them and you shun them. And I've seen a lot of families get ripped apart because the parents actually set this up at a young, but it is just such a young age, and then can't figure out why their kids have totally disowned them as parents. And in many cases, because they've taught them that's exactly what the you know, they're supposed to do. You know, one of the things, you know, talk about controversial topics that almost gets as controversial as this. My wife and I have made a decision in our family to do something very iconoclastic, very against the grain compared to most of U.S. culture, and especially my parents' belief system. But we don't practice Santa Claus with our kids. And I mean, you say that in my household, and you might as well have just said that Jesus isn't really, you know, from heaven or something. Because they're like, boom! And I mean, they look at you like you just blasphemed or something like that. But see, we've made a choice because with our belief systems, we believe that we're not accusing other people if you do of Santa Claus that that's your heart for doing this. But we believe with our belief system that by telling somebody that, you know, that somebody exists when they don't really. That is, in a sense, a lie. And we push for our kids not to lie about things. And yet, you know, when we do that, we feel like that's what that is for them. And so we've made that choice. And again, I'm not insinuating if you're doing Santa Claus that, you know, that's what you're doing. You're trying to lie to your kids and teach them. I don't believe that. But for us, we couldn't in good faith do that. And I've noticed that, you know, I've gotten to feel what that feels like a little bit, to have a belief that is very different from what a lot of people believe, and how people will even just kind of shun you just a little bit. They won't actively, passively do it. You know, people don't walk out there and, like, you know, burn Santa Claus on a crucifix on my front yard or anything like that. You know, there's no Santa Claus Klux Klan or anything like that. But it's even those little passive things that we can do. The little subtleties, the little things that we're often not aware of. A lot of times when we try to think about, you know, being hateful, we think of, like, overt stuff, right? Again, you know, going out and, like, you know, like even racism. We think of, like, the major, you know, burning the crosses in front of people's yards or something like that. But I think that's the least of our problems when it comes to this level, this mentality of hatred that we can teach our kids. It's the little stuff. It's the way we talk about folks. It's maybe even the language that we use when we talk about them. And even more importantly, it's that mindset that we have. I've got a guy coming on this week who's going to be on the Family Podcast Network. I'm so excited about it because he's going to talk about the Arbinger Institute's parenting pyramid. And at the base of that, it talks about if you can't get your correction to work, if you can't teach your kids accurately, if your parent-child relationship isn't going well, if the relationships around you aren't going well, more often than not, what's the problem is it's the way you're seeing somebody. And it's kind of that mentality that you have about a person. I worked with a mom a few years ago who there was a, you know, she had her kids. And this other little kid would come over to her house. And she said, "Trey, would you watch me?" Because we used to do in-home therapy with them. And we came over to their house, and I was watching her. And she goes, "Can you tell me why I can't get this kid to do what I want?" And I watched this mom. And she did everything right. She was polite. She was respectful in how she said it. But I could hear it in her voice. There was just something about the way she was talking to her. And the little kid left again and went, you know, went back to their home. And she goes, so why can't I get her to do what I want? And so I asked her, I said, if you could name one word, just one word of what you would call this little kid, what would it be? And she just kind of sat there. Well, and I said, no, you're thinking too hard. Just that word that comes to your mind. She goes, well, she's just dirty. And I said, really? She goes, yeah, she's just always filthy and she just has dirt on her and she's just grimy and she's just, you know, that. And I said, I know you're doing everything right. You're doing every technique I've ever taught you to be polite and respectful to each other. But the reality is the vision, the way you see her is that word, dirty. And I said, kids have built-in crapdar.
Yeah.
You can throw every politeness at them that you want. But if inside – I mean, let's call it your heart. If inside your heart, your mentality towards that person is dirty, or if it's sinful, if it's the Christian to the person in the gay community, or if it's the person in the gay community to the Christian saying that they're just hypocritical or self-righteous, if that's the way we are viewing that person deep down inside of our hearts, no matter how polite we may say we're being, no matter how much we may say all the right things and just all this stuff, people read through crap. And then here's the problem. Our kids pick up on it too.
Yeah, they do, Trey. I agree that, you know, it's a lens. You know, it's a category that we put people into. And it's human nature. It's part of it protects us too,
sure.
Right? Because,
sure.
You know, we have to have that perception, that discernment to be able to, you know, to recognize when it's okay to be around and to trust somebody, especially
sure.
as a kid. And thank God that that those kids develop that and start to pick up on that early on.
Yeah,
but
stranger anxiety, right?
You know, it gets us into trouble too, I think, sometimes when we feel like we need to, you know, to place people into the boxes or into the proper columns or categories. And worse still, that we have to treat them different because they are in those different categories.
Yeah.
You know, you can, you know, go on this topic here without, you know, without saying who it is or anything like that. I have a couple members of my family that are in this category. And it is It has always been an ongoing challenge to, in my mind, to have conversations with them and to, especially conversations that are more than surface type things, and to be able to think about, okay, well, how much time do I want my kids spending with these members of the family, and what might they learn from these members of the family? And a lot of that is, you know, a lot of that is based, being transparent here, a lot of it's based in fear, Trey, and of what may come of it, you know, when if my child does go into that, you know, is homosexuality something that can be caught, you know, because of the example that they see and whatnot. So I struggle with it. And, you know, even with family members, it's, you know, it's not easy, but knowing that they are your family, that you love them, and that yet, from what we believe, at least in my home, and I think you said in yours too earlier, that it's still a choice.
Right.
It's a choice that person made, and that to us, you know, unless science proves it different someday, to us, it's not a genetic makeup thing. It's a choice that person made. And if it is indeed a choice, Trey, it's, you know, not a lot different than some of the other things. If we see, you know, a kid's home where a parent does a lot of, you know, is very abusive, you know, mentally or physically or emotionally to somebody in the house, well, we're not going to let our kids spend time over there because we don't want that to happen to them too, you know. And, you know, all kind of things that could be lumped into as choices that a person decided that they're going to be this way, we have to try to put those barriers around and those safeguards around our kids. But
sure.
There's also, you know, There's a level too. And the second word you were going to talk about that we're going to define was we've used a couple times here was condoning. You know, how do you have that tolerance, you know, a healthy level of tolerance without compromising your values and beliefs and condoning the behavior itself? So what did you find on the condoning definition, Trey?
Condoning when used as a verb, which is what we're talking about here, because, you know, this is an action that we are performing with somebody whose beliefs who are different from ours. Condoning means to approve or sanction something. So let's also define what sanction is. Again, I'm gonna use that as a verb because remember we're using this in the verb. It means to give official permission or approval for an action.
Sure.
So Paul and I today are suggesting that the word tolerance is not a bad word. If you tolerate someone in who's a person who in the gay community, you are not doing something wrong as a Christian. If you tolerate somebody who thinks that you're doing it wrong as a person in the gay community, that is not wrong. Remember, that is not the word condone, which means that you are approving of what they are doing or giving official permission or approval of what they believe. It is okay to tolerate somebody. That does not mean that you're condoning them.
Yeah, that's a great definite. That's a great barrier that you put between the two. There is that, you know, we can. It's like religions too. You know, Trey. There's so many religions around the world, and that we can be tolerant and respectful of others and their religions without agreeing with what it is that they do. I mean, think about. I don't get into many of these situations. I would imagine that you don't either. But you know, there's folks that you know do. There's folks that do international travel and have to meet with folks that you know are from different cultures all over the world from time to time. And you know, can you imagine having to be if you were a Christian, Trey, and you were in let's say you were in one of the Middle Eastern countries having to do some kind of you know business transaction or business meeting or something like that, and you know the Muslim or the cultures of that society, you know, the norms that are there, they're going to happen while you're there. What's the choice that you're going to make? You know, are you going to walk out of the meeting because you are so strongly opposed to something like that? Or are you going to be respectful and tolerant of it, but at the same time not compromise your values by changing your belief system over to do something like that? So that there is a, you know, I think in every situation, there's a way where you can tolerate something without, at least when we're talking about these societal norms and values and culture type things, you can do, you can have a level of tolerance without condoning something. It's just, I just don't think there's, you know, I don't think they're mutually, you know, I don't think there has to be that compromise to be able to reach that level there. But it is just from somebody who's, you know, had to deal with that in some of my family. And again, I, you know, out of respect for those folks and for, you know, others in the family itself, I don't want to start revealing what relationships what part of my family tree, you know, has that. Just being transparent that it is something that I've had to go through. And if you haven't at the family top level like that, it can be a strange dynamic. So, you know, we have to love without being judgmental. And it's sometimes that is one of the toughest things to do, Trey.
You know, I remember my first year, Paul, of whenever I first was doing my first year of counseling. You know, we always I have a belief system that school is wonderful. School is great. I'm not upset about the education that I have in the fullest sense. I wish this field that I initially got into made a whole lot more money than it did. But I love where it's got me because it's also what's positioned me to be where I am with Family Podcast and now the Real Family Guys Podcast. But, you know, one of the reasons why I love our show so much is that, you know, education isn't enough. And I love it that we are the show where education and experience collide because experience is so beneficial. So good story about experience for me my first year. So this is my first year, right, that I'm actually getting to have clients on a one-on-one basis, right, and families that I'm working with. And what do I happen to get here in the middle of the Bible Belt, Texas, you know, church, you throw a rock and you hit a church no matter which direction you toss it in Texas, right? I get a Wiccan family. Wiccan family. Now, I'm not going to go into the long and shorts of that. It's a very fascinating culture and belief system. Go look it up, research it, you know, Google it, just do define Wiccan, and you'll get some of the background on it. But the basics behind it is that this was a witch family. And they were actively practicing witches. And so, I mean, this is one of those that when you talk about, you know, belief systems just absolutely theoretically could have completely clashed. I mean, it was high risk. But you know what I found? I could be very okay with their belief systems. I was okay with them. Didn't mean I agreed with them. As a matter of fact, I totally disagreed with them. In a lot of ways, I feel like it's the absolute antithesis to what I believe. But I was okay with them. I loved them. I cared about them. We were even able to incorporate those things into what they were trying to do to help their family heal and grow. We were able to do that. You know, I didn't compromise my belief systems. But let me tell you what stuck with me, Paul, was at the very end of it. We got done and we were wrapping up our services, and because we were real short-term, solution focused. We want to get the problem solved and get you closed out so you don't have to sit there and meet with us forever. We got done with that. And I remember they signed the papers, and the mom and the dad both. And this dad, just big old burly beard. I mean, he's not what you would think when you think Wiccan. I mean, he looked like a blue collar guy with a big old giant bushy beard. You know, just that kind of guy. But I remember they both just sat there just tearing up. And I said, you guys okay? All right? And they said, we want you to know that you were the first person who learned everything they could about us, who didn't treat us like we were weirdos.
Wow.
And I mean, you know, this town that I live in is not a small town. You know, I mean, you know, it's not humongous, excuse me, but it's not tiny either. And there's plenty of people. And out of this entire town, they didn't feel like they could find anybody that just accepted them for who they were, right where they were. I didn't agree with them. And I certainly didn't condone their belief systems. But instead, what I did was I was able to have influence in their lives because I chose to love them and accept them for right where they were. Do I want to see them grow into what I think they should be? Of course, that's always there. But reality is accepting a person, tolerating. Remember, tolerating is not condoning. We're trying to bash that into y'all's head today on purpose because we want y'all to walk away here with the actual definition of tolerance. That ability to look at somebody and see in them the existence of opinions and behaviors that we do not agree with and be okay with them. Because what I have found is that unless you can get to that point where you can love a person and accept a person like that, you can't have any effect and influence on them. I'm that way. I mean, there's an old phrase that says people don't care what you know until they know that you care. We've talked about that on this podcast before all the time. And I think we're missing that. You know, Paul and I, we talk about there's a kind of a phrase in Christian cultures for those of you that might not be familiar with it, but we talk about loving the person and hating what they're doing, or more commonly in this we say, you know, you love the person, hate the sin is what we say.
Right.
I choose to say hate what they're doing very strategically because, again, I'm not trying to charge this and stuff like that. But
yes.
I think what's happened is that – and I'm saying this on both sides of the fence here. I mean, I'm saying this on the Christian side and on other communities that don't agree with Christianity. We've gotten really good at hating both. The person and what they're doing. And in reality, what's really happening is we're hating the person because of what they're doing.
Yep, you're right, Trey. And as you were sitting there going through that, you know, I was thinking about when we do that, you know, not only do we categorize them, but we compartmentalize them too. We put up those barriers. We protect ourselves from them and whatnot. But think about the things that we could be missing out on as well too. You know, they could have some amazing talents or some amazing gifts that, you know, could benefit, you know, your
right.
life and whatnot. And or even, you know, greater still, you know, the bigger part of society as a whole. But because we choose to put them in this box and to say they're a yeah, let's say a minority segment of the population, they may be, but that doesn't give them any less value as a human or as their
right.
contribution that they can make on our lives or on society as a whole. So I think, you know, unfortunately, we miss out on some of that too when we do that to folks because we think that that defines them as a whole as opposed to just being a characteristic or a part of who, you know, the person is themselves. You know, it's tough. I say it over and over, and I feel like, you know, as we're getting to the close of the show here, that I feel frustrated a little bit about on my part is that I feel like I'm stumbling over this a little bit, and it's only because it's not easy to deal with, and it's something that's going to be with us. You know, the thing that Trey making a great distinction there that it's, you know, leaving out the phrase, you know, hate the sin as opposed to hate what you're doing, you know, it's not us. To me, it's not on us to judge whether that's actually a sin or not. It's, you know, there's several instances throughout the Bible where it's strongly, you know, you can make some strong correlations one way or the other. But, you know, even if it is, here's the thing for all of us to remember too, both Christian, non-Christian, God-fearing, whatnot, we are all human. We are all of the same, what we believe in the Bible, the same sin nature. We're all weak. And in God's eyes, if you are a believer, if you think it's a sin, no one sin is greater than the other to Him.
Yeah.
And just because you may be saved and whatnot too, that doesn't mean you're perfect. You know, none of us are going to go to the grave perfect. There was only one perfect man, and, you know, He died for our sins, you know, over 2,000 years ago. And that's what it is. So to, you know, just, you know, I feel like I'm throwing around a few scripture references here, and I'll throw one more around. You know, don't cast that first stone if you're without, unless you're without sin yourself. Yeah. And that's just, you know, to me is a decent way to wrap it up today. We're not going to get rid of it. You know, hate, unfortunately, is people really get charged up about these type topics and these type of relationships, but it's just, we're all just different folks, and, you know, we need to, before we're really going to progress as a society, you know, we're going to have to realize that the innate value and that is in each and every human, and that the differences that define us, well, that's just part of how God uniquely made us.
No, I think that's good. You know, you hit on something a minute ago that a lot of the folks that I've visited with, you know, the Christians that the circles I operate in, when you suggest that they spend time with someone who, you know, who doesn't believe the way they do, I mean, they'll get so vehement. Well, I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to do that. But, you know, I mean, I even think there's scriptural basis for that as well. I mean, it says as iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen the other. And I think a lot of times we have a tendency to cluster around people that agree just like us. And so you imagine I don't know, Paul, if you ever sharpen knives. I'm a big knife guy. I love knives and pocket knives and all that other good jazz. And so I sharpen them. I like to keep a good edge on them so they're good and sharp. And the way that works is the way that you sharpen a knife is that you have to generate friction. There has to be an opposition, right? You know,
that's right.
I mean, that's just laws of physics, is that they have to create a friction. And then what happens is that what takes it from that blunt piece of metal that really can't do much of anything except, like, you know, blunt force trauma by somebody over the head or something, what takes it from that to that really sharp object is, so there has to be resistance. And then not only that, pieces of the blade actually have to kind of break loose. And that's what takes it from the dulled sense to the most, sharp sense. And I think so many people are terrified to hang out around somebody that totally disagrees with them because they're afraid that they're going to sway them over into their belief systems. And that may be true for those folks. But in reality, where I've found – I mean, I'll be honest. Graduate degree, getting my master's, my best friend was an atheist. And I have never walked out understanding what I believed about the Bible, about the believing of an actual present God, more than whenever he was my friend, closest friend I had in a graduate school. And he asked me tough questions that I had to come up with answers to. Best thing I ever did, because the iron resisted it. He said, "Trey, I don't know about this. Why, how do you believe this? How do you believe this?" And we just sat there and we worked on each other. And it slowly just began to where I got rid of some ideas that I thought, this is a crap idea. This is based off a tradition of man, not anything I can find in this Bible, number one, which was a big part, getting rid of traditions that weren't really in my belief system. And then the other part of it was he emailed me a while back and said, "I want you to know, we both went to a Christian university." Yes, there was an atheist at a Christian university. And he said, "Trey, out of everybody on that place, you were the only person who cared about what I had to say." And then he said, "I just also want you to know that my wife and I prayed and we accepted Christ in our heart this last week."
Wow.
And I mean, you want to talk about just overwhelming, just, you know, just this dude over here, you know, just getting all choked
up. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't think I could have done that if there hadn't have been that mentality of allowing him to believe what he believed, knock off the stuff that didn't belong in my belief system, and then listen to him. And then we iron sharpened iron. Fascinating thing.
That's a great story to wrap this up with right here. Anything else you want to add today?
That's going to do it.
Man, what a good show here!
I think it
was good. And I think it was a good conversation to have. And I think if people will just do that kind of stuff a little bit more, they'll come to see and kind of drop some of these preconceived notions that they have on different things and give life a little bit different view. You know, it's just again, I know that in the end, I think it wound up being a good show. And for me, it's just I can't voice enough what I felt like. You know, in some cases, it's hard to verbalize what I'm trying to say here with it, because it is such a, you know, it's such a topic that is not easy to navigate sometimes. So, Trey, I appreciate you walking through it, and I do think it worked out the way we wanted it to.
Absolutely.
Folks, we appreciate you listening today. We are showing up here every Friday on the Family Podcast Network and at affluentstudent.com. You'll find a new episode, and I think this one was episode number 15 that'll go up this week. You can drop us some feedback at either one of our websites by clicking on the telephone icon on the right hand side, and just leave us a little note, a little word of encouragement, criticism, whatever you feel. Just we love to hear from you one way or the other. And if this show has helped you and you'd like to share it with others, please feel free to send out the links, to like it, to tweet it, to do whatever it is you do with it out there in cyberspace, and let others know that we're out here, because that's why we do this, to serve you. Trey, I hope you have an awesome week, sir.
We'll see you guys next week. Mic check on Trey. Mic check. Good.
Yep. Right. Mic check on Paul.
Let me boost you a little bit. I had to turn it down.
Oh, good. It got me a little boost there.
Yeah, I'm going to give you some boostage. Okay, now try.
Mic check on Paul.
Oh, too much. One more time.
Mic check on Paul.
That's it. Okay, we're peaking exactly the same now.
Great.
All right, fantastic.